Good evening again. As you've heard, my name is Helen Yego, a farmer from Kenya and a national secretary of the farmers movement called Ngoma, which is a Swahili word meaning maize and dairy farmers. It's ngombe na mahindi in Kiswahili. That's our local language. I would like to make my presentation in three parts. One, I want to give the background information about what Ngoma is, what our movement as farmers, maize and dairy farmers is. Then I talk about the importance of food sovereignty in our context. And lastly, just share everyday life pictures of how our village and our everyday activities look like as we finish. Ngoma, as I've said, is an acronym word for Ngombe na Mahindi, which means maize and dairy farmers. We started the movement in 2003 after a research finding by an institution called Center for Governance and Development presented to us farmers the impact of the failures on the agriculture sector, touching mainly on the maize and the dairy sector. Why? Because maize is our staple food. Milk is our staple food. In every household, especially in the rural areas, we find that the food that we serve is made from maize flour, and milk cannot miss in that dish or on the table each day. And we take the milk either fresh or we drink it when it is curdled milk. As a result of the structural adjustment programs of IMF, World Bank in the 80s, and the liberalization of trade through WTO in the 90s, our maize sector and the dairy sector collapsed. And the country was lacking food completely because there was no free trade. There's a lot of import coming in for the maize and for the dairy, and making the farmers produce at a loss until we stopped growing those crops. But we just used to grow for food, for just meager food subsistence. Maize and dairy are some of the crops or some of the enterprises that are also victims of the Green Revolution, monocropping. And now, as out of that research, we came as farmers and decided that we need to champion for our rights, especially in the government, to make fair policies that can favor the production of food, because maize and dairy are regarded as food and it's a human rights activity. So when we started Ngoma, we started now writing memorandums to the government, and as a success, we've managed to push for the budgetary allocation from the government on the agriculture. We've managed to monitor government resource expenditure on agriculture. And as a out of all that, we still have a long way to go, but we find that we have positioned ourselves such that the government at least can consult us on some of the issues, especially on food. And so Ngoma has a structure of position and condition. Our position level, we challenge, we do the policy work, collaborating with organizations that are like-minded and friendly to the farmers. At condition level, it's the farmers' organizations who ascribe to Ngoma. And in these farmer organizations, we have different activities. We have farmers that are ascribing more onto the dairy sector and others that are ascribing more to the maize sector. And they are autonomous groups in the villages doing their own things. And we have built their capacity to a level whereby they are organized to do marketing of their own produces in their own ways. However, we are faced with the challenge of food crisis because of land issues. In Kenya, land is owned by the families, and traditionally land is subdivided to sons. And so we are losing a lot of productive land through land subdivision, which is being subdivided to become very uneconomical in size. However, food sovereignty is the only solution to our problems at grassroots level. And so I ask the question, who feeds us in the rural areas anyway? Kenya, 70 to 80% of the population live in the rural areas. We earn our living, our livelihood in agriculture. And so part of the Ngoma's campaign is to sensitize the farmers on food sovereignty, targeting mainly women who are the food sources in the households, and more so seed as the source of food. And so we have laid a lot of emphasis on growing our own seed, sourcing locally for our own seed, and especially the maize. We have local varieties of maize which we have collaborated with the Agricultural Research Institute, and they have developed those varieties, and we are able to grow those varieties without the fear of degenerating like the hybrid seeds. So we have alternative seeds for our own maize crop. Secondly, we are developing building our own seeds on other crop varieties. We grow plenty of beans, pumpkins, sweet potatoes, cassava, and millet, and sorghum. And so, as he was saying, we also put emphasis on crop diversification. And what we have discovered is that with climate change, we have a lot of traditional drought-resistant crops, which are now cushioning us in the event when we have erratic rainfalls or floods. And we've realized that it's our traditional, especially vegetables and root crops, that are resilient to extremes of weather. And that is what feeds us in the rural areas. But the challenge in our country is that a quarter of the country is high potential, where we do agriculture, and three quarter of our country is the arid and semi-arid lands, where we have hunger and famine throughout, year in, year out, because those are the areas farmers are pastoralists. But the most interesting thing is that we have the irony of plenty of food in our area, but scarcity in the drought areas, but the government does not want to put any mechanism of making food distribution locally. Instead, they would rather have food imports, which they have collections with the big multinationals through the World Food Program. And so we find that is the biggest challenge for us, and as we have heard, it is a political war. And we are facing that challenge in our country because our politicians don't want to see benefits go to the small-scale farmers who are producing varieties of foods. However, what we want to say is that in food sovereignty, what we enjoy and experience in the villages is that we share food as farmers. We share seed. We even share animal breeds. For example, the small-scale poultry farmers, you exchange cocks so that you don't have inbreeding in your cocks. So food sovereignty actually has a lot of high social impact and social cohesion in the communities. The other thing also is that the challenge we face is the dairy. In the dairy industry is the food dumping from the north. We get a lot of powder milk coming to spoil our industry in the south. And it's still, again, that is a political venture. We find that our food in relation to nutrition is very nutritious foods. The locally traditional foods are very nutritious. We don't use a lot of chemicals, we don't use fertilizers. So food sovereignty is actually the answer to the health of our people and even all of us in this world. And especially even in the north, we'd like to challenge the people in the north to try and even make a diet out of millet. It is the best food in the world.
Thank you very much.
But maybe, Sue, if you could now just speak a little bit in terms of your experience here and also the struggle.
Thank you very much. Well, first of all, sometimes when you think about, when I think about food and how little political exposure it gets, it makes me very angry, actually, because food is not much discussed at a political level. You know, we hear a lot about almost every other issue, defence, the economic issues, education, but actually food's so central to our lives, and I think that that's what it is very hard to get through at a political level. That's why Rob and I formed the agroecology group, because it's as wide as you can get. We aim to think about food absolutely from farm to plate to compost heap, because we want to deal with food waste and with the nutritional quality of what we eat, and with not only the actual growing part of it, but also things like the employment issues. So, and it's looking at that from a UK perspective, how we do all of that here, which at the moment is really badly. So we've got a lot of lessons to learn from overseas, many of which we've heard tonight. But also how we interact with overseas, about what you were saying about food dumping. How immoral is that? You know, we're using up resources here to go and dump food with you and then say, oh, well, we need to give more aid because... I mean, it's a ridiculous cycle. So there's a lot of work for the all-party group to do. It is very energised and it's got a lot of support, but we've also got a long way to go. So it was especially interesting for me to be asked by War on Want, and I'm eternally grateful for that, to go to Sri Lanka and see some of the work that Mon Lal was doing this last August. And I'll just give you perhaps my four top impressions, because it was such an inspiring trip, I could actually talk about it for 2.5 hours, and with no photos, that would be pretty extreme, wouldn't it? So my top impressions, really. First of all, that Sri Lanka, like many countries, but I saw it very visually there, still has maintained that really wonderful, very short food chain, where if a farmer has got any excess, there is a ready market right there, very often on the side of the road above his field, but certainly in his nearest town or village. And I know that's common in many other countries, but it certainly isn't here anymore. And you don't see people standing in awe in a supermarket taking photos, but you do see people standing, you know, European tourists, seeing what we've lost, standing in front of a market taking photos because it's so... different. And that's one of the first things that we need to get back in the UK, is that very short food chain where farmers can be sure of a market that's not the supermarket route, which brings, as you all know, so many conditions with it that if you're a small scale grower, it's impossible. Actually, the next thing that absolutely comes out of that is the strength of the cooperative. I don't imagine that many of the achievements that are gained for small farmers could ever be done without having a strong cooperative, and Mon Lal is a really interesting example of that. Apart from the difficulty as a small farmer, or indeed fisherman, because one of the most exciting things I went to was the opening of a new fish market just north I've learned of where you live at Pulana Rua. Very small scale fish market and very essential for the fishermen there, because otherwise you have to go around yourself, having come back from fishing, and having the fish market there as an outlet was somewhere that obviously people from the village could go and passers-by, because it was very well situated by the main road, and by their very fresh fish. The next thing that was incredibly impressive was the whole home growing programme, whether it was the urban programme, which we were shown many examples of, and it combined so many things. Recycling, they were growing, the plants they were growing were in recycled plastic sand sacks very often, sacks that had been used for construction, and with compost and that was recycled from food waste, and then absolute balconies, rooftops, everything lined with plants, to the rural programmes, which were equally interesting and slightly bigger scale because there was more space for them. And the final very impressive piece of work was on the seed banks, because of course here in Europe we've been driven down a route of hybrid seeds, which bring with them all their own problems. Of course that's very largely the problem with GM as well. And seeing actually the seed bank in the village, in absolutely ready there to be used, really drove it home to me as to what we've lost ourselves. So I learnt an immense amount. I suppose if I was going to pick on just one of those things, it would be the power of the cooperative. Small farmers can't do this by themselves, small growers. It's really difficult. Some countries in Europe have retained it a little bit more. It's something we need to rebuild in the UK, and it's one of the things we'll be looking at very shortly in the agri-ecology group. Finally, my short time in Sri Lanka, it's an absolutely mind-blowing country, and some of what you've retained must be due to your amazing tradition of building on, as you kept referring to nature so rightly, the absolute riches that nature's given you. If I had 2 weeks again, I could just watch birds or just watch butterflies there. There was everything, it was wonderful. Thank you.
I'm really, really pleased to be able to present to you Estela Mateus, the National Coordinator of the MST, the Movimento Sem Terra, the Landless Workers Movement in Brazil. I'm sure for many of you, it's a movement that really does not need any introduction. It's been one of the most inspiring social movements in Latin America, if not in the whole world. And the occupation and resettlement of unused land in Brazil has really been a beacon, an example which has been followed and taken up in country after country across the world, and I'm sure we all have absolutely masses to learn from it. So please welcome Delo Mateus.
Good evening.
Inicialmente, gostaria de agradecer ao Aluante pela realização do evento e por convidar o MST.
First of all, we would like to thank the organization of this event and for inviting him as well.
O movimento dos trabalhadores rurais sem terra no Brasil hoje está organizado com 500 mil famílias.
The MST in Brazil nowadays have 500,000 families.
400 mil famílias que são do MST que já estão assentados em assentamentos de reforma agrária produzindo.
400,000 families are already in land and producing.
E temos mais de 100 mil famílias que ainda estão acampados em algum lugar público em barracas de lonas.
And we still have 100,000 families that are camping somewhere waiting for a land to produce.
E o nosso papel no Brasil é reivindicar a reforma agrária para que elas sejam realizadas nos milhões de hectares de terras que ainda são produtivas.
And the role of MST in Brazil is to reclaim the agrarian reform.
Division in the commons.
No. and the role of MSC in Brazil is to reclaim the agrarian reform to so these families and a lot more have access to improductive lands that are now improductive.
Essa importante discussão da soberania alimentar trata-se de discutir modelo de desenvolvimento.
For him, the discussion about food sovereignty is actually a discussion about a model that is currently available in the world and that decides the production of food.
Nós entendemos que o atual modelo de exploração agrícola totalmente subordinado aos interesses do capital.
We understand that the current model of food production only serves the interest of external or internal but capital producers.
Não é possível se viabilizar ou organizar uma soberania alimentar.
And with that system, it's impossible to organize a food sovereignty movement.
Esse modelo está voltado para a produção de monocultura para exportação.
This model prioritizes monocultural productions of food and for exportation.
Isso leva ao processo de concentração das terras.
This leads to the process of land concentration.
Alto consumo de agrotóxicos.
High consumption of fertilizers.
Uso intensivo de máquinas pesadas.
Use of really heavy machinery for food production in agriculture.
Isso causa um sério problema com a superexploração do meio ambiente.
And that causes the exploitation of the environment, excessive exploitation of the environment.
Isso para produzir o alimento e transformá-lo em mercadoria.
That's to produce the food and actually transform it into a commodity.
E as grandes corporações controlam todo o processo produtivo, o processo de industrialização e comercialização da cadeia alimentar.
And big international corporations decide and control. Thank you. Decide and control the how things are produced, what is produced, and the entire food chain.
No entanto, achamos que esse modelo não tem sustentabilidade para o futuro.
But we think that this model is not sustainable.
Falar um pouco então do conceito de soberania alimentar.
I'm now going to talk about the concept of food sovereignty.
Não significa produzir uma maior quantidade de alimento com menor custo.
It doesn't mean produce more lower costs.
A soberania alimentar deve ser um projeto de desenvolvimento econômico e social do conjunto da sociedade.
Food sovereignty involves economic and social development of the society.
Para isso deve levar em consideração a democratização do acesso à terra.
And so for that to be possible, we need to take into consideration the democratization of the access to the land.
Para que ela possa cumprir a sua função social.
So the land can actually serve to its main objective, which is social.
E promover o equilíbrio ambiental.
And to promote the environmental balance.
Isso preocupado com o futuro da humanidade.
And obviously taking into consideration the future of human beings.
Significa também garantir a autonomia das comunidades.
It also means to guarantee the autonomy of the communities.
Como, por exemplo, as comunidades produzirem as suas próprias sementes.
For example, giving the local communities the right and the means to produce their own seeds.
O aproveitamento do conhecimento popular.
The use of popular knowledge.
E a utilização dos recursos naturais de forma racional.
And the utilization of natural resources in a sustainable manner.
Essa utilização dos recursos naturais significa da terra, da água, do meio ambiente.
We mean by resources is water, the land and the environment as a whole.
Deve também desenvolver a agroecologia.
The sovereignty should also take develop agroecology.
Discutir também uma nova matriz tecnológica.
We should also discuss a new technological model.
Ou seja, nós também temos que associar, né, a experiência das comunidades com a tecnologia, com a pesquisa.
We should associate and take into consideration the local knowledge and the new technologies.
Porque o compromisso da soberania alimentar é com o conjunto da sociedade.
Because the main objective of food sovereignty is to unite those two things, local knowledge and the technological developments.
E comprometido com o futuro da humanidade.
But taking into consideration the future of the human.
Devemos também desenvolver a cooperação.
We should also develop the cooperation.
Desenvolver experiências, por exemplo, de pequenas unidades de beneficiamento do alimento.
We should develop local cooperatives that produce and sell and take care of the food that they produce.
E cabe também ao setor público o planejamento e organização e distribuição dos alimentos.
We should also count with the local government to organize and plan policies and public policies that will guarantee these rights.
Portanto, a sociedade se encontra diante de uma necessidade.
The society is now facing a new need.
Posicionar de qual projeto de futuro para a humanidade.
We are now facing a decision between the model that we are using right now or a new way of doing things.
A gente pode manter o atual modelo que nós achamos que não tem sustentabilidade.
We can keep the model that we have right now, which I think is impossible to sustain.
Ou vamos discutir um modelo alternativo, né, pensando no futuro da humanidade.
Well, we can discuss an alternative model that will guarantee the future of the society.
E eu gostaria de reafirmar a importância da utilização das terras.
And I would like to reinforce the importance of the need to use the land in a correct manner.
Eu gostaria de citar um exemplo bem significante na realidade brasileira.
I would like to tell you an example that is really significant to the Brazilian reality.
Existem milhões de hectares de terras mal aproveitadas.
We have millions of acres of land that are not used.
No entanto, milhares de hectares também são desmatados da região amazônica.
But that doesn't stop us from devastating other thousands of acres of land.
E também o desmatamento do cerrado, né, para o plantio da monocultura.
We devastate not only the Amazonian rainforest, but also another kind of vegetation that we have, which is called cerrado, which I don't know how to translate. So I'm sorry.
Vou fazer uma provocação para o povo da Europa.
And I'm going to incite you, people from Europe, about something.
Ou seja, o alimento que os animais comem aqui, os porcos, as vacas, são produzidos com a soja do desmatamento da Amazônia e do Cerrado brasileiro.
He's saying that the food that the animals eat here, the porks and the cows, is produced with the soil that is planted from these areas that are devastated in Brazil.
E por último, então, eu gostaria de falar muito rapidamente.
I would like to say really quickly.
Da experiências que nós estamos desenvolvendo na agroecologia no Brasil.
The experience that we are developing in agroecology in Brazil.
Como, por exemplo, produção de arroz, feijão, frutas e verduras.
Like the production of rice, beans, fruits and vegetables.
Que inclusive hoje está sendo fornecido para a alimentação escolar.
That is being used in schools to feed students all over the country.
mediante programa do governo brasileiro.
With the help of a program organized by the Brazilian government.
Mas para nós a questão mais importante é a mudança da consciência da sociedade.
Is that the society needs to change the way it views things.
Para isso a gente desenvolve então a formação dos trabalhadores do Brasil.
And that's why we reinforce on food sovereignty ideals within our farmers.
E nós organizamos então uma escola nacional.
And we have a national school for that.
Escola Nacional Florestan Fernandes.
National School Florestan Fernandes.
Que inclusive a gente desenvolve parceria com vários países.
That has programs with different countries.
Como por exemplo Moçambique, Cuba.
Like Moçambique, Cuba.
E finalizando então para dizer que a Orlante contribuiu com esse processo de formação na formação de técnicos em agroecologia.
And that Orlante helped them in Brazil to form and to educate technicians on how to produce in a more sustainable way.
Obrigado.
Thank you very much.